or Radio Lab.
WO2X disconnected.
My radiolab.org seems to have streaming content. So that's it. So you probably mean radio radiolabs.com, and their commercial site probably has something on it that someone lets you do shall we say path evaluations, which is great. Oh yeah, 3-0 with empty net goal. With Radio Mobile, and you can look it up, Radio Mobile, it will actually allow you to set up locations and take into account not just the system gain and loss and the path gain and loss, but also elevations and things like that. It's really cool. And we've been using that.
Gordon, well, whatever works, I'm not erudite on this subject. I'm still playing around with stuff. I've been playing around with the 900 megahertz and a little bit with this little Radio Shack 10 meter, and I've decided to go out and buy a brand new HF set.
What are you looking at for HF?
Gordon, I just purchased a TS-480-SAT. That's, well, it's going to come here in probably 3 or 4 weeks, but it was from Gigapart. So I want to go and see if I can do some TSK-31 on it.
Very, very nice. Did you get the 100-watt model or the 200-watt model?
I figured the 100-watt model was more than I really needed. Plus, I figured it's got the tuner in it, which would, you know, break the bank for another $170, so that's a little bit of savings. And it has a DSP in it, which would cost me about $150 for a DSP speaker. So all in all, it sounds relatively economical.
And it is. Jim K2ZO has one of each. And he has a role in his mind for each kind. So that's great. That's absolutely great. All righty. Well, that's great. Anything more, Mr. Rich? That's super.
Oh, yes, Gordon. I had a little bit of fun in the past week. I had from the, I guess it's the N2RA repeater, I had a contact. Two contacts on 10 meters on the west coast. One going through a little Radio Shack 10, and the other one through my 900 megahertz machine.
Oh, that's very nice. That's very nice. Where do you have your 900 megs machine?
And I have a converted Kenwood 981. I guess it's about 15 watts going through a little Yagi pointed on to the north.
Very nice. Good for you. Are you aware that there are other 900 meg repeaters in the area?
Yes, Gordon, I am. I had a conversation I think it was OF or something, over on the West Orange machine. He was in Hackensack on a portable talking to his own repeater back to me.
So that's KB2. Absolutely. That's wonderful. That's the lovely and vivacious Mr. Montague. I'm glad to see that he hooked you up. That's great. I actually don't have anything on 900 meg FM. I do have stuff on, I have a 903 transverter, which I use, and a 1286 transverter, What I don't have right now is I have no clue whatever happened to my 2304 station. It got packed away in the basement and then magically disappeared several years ago, and it's not a good thing. Anyway, alrighty. Anything else?
No, Gordon, that's about it for now, because I could just keep talking forever, so I'll let you go back. I'll go be back to net. This is W2PDQ.
Well, thank you again, Rich. That's super. And if you can get around, maybe we'll see you at the Parallel Club one Friday night. And I'll be there tomorrow, but again, not next week. Alrighty. Let's see. Have we burned through the list? Yeah, I guess we have. So, I guess anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions for the net?
Casey, two, you on here?
Paul, go right ahead.
My dear wife asked me to improve the Wi-Fi signal around the house. Basically told me, just go get a linear amplifier, stick it on. I had a quick question on what the output of these routers are at the moment, and how big an amp should I get, and just overall, what power can we actually run on the ham side of 2.4 gigahertz?
Okay. Assuming that the home router you have has removable antennas, you can put an amplifier on there. In all honesty, I'd put like a simple half-watt or one-watt amplifier on and be done with it. If you would like to borrow one of my half-watt bidirectional amplifiers, you are more than welcome to test whether or not it's going to be effective. Because I'm not convinced that that's going to be the solution. Depending on the layout of your house, power may not be the issue. It may just be more reach. So getting one of those wireless bridges is probably often better, a better choice.
Yeah, okay, I'll take you up on the offer. If you want to throw one in the backpack tomorrow, I'll pick it up from you. I don't know what it is. I'm suspecting interference just because, you know, I've got a lot of devices on the system. Some are good, some are bad. But she's saying she's getting bars dropping around the house, so yeah, I was thinking just something reasonable. I don't want to go, I started looking at linear amplifiers, you know, $200 price tag started kicking up, so, you know, I don't really want to go that level.
Okay, yeah, let me answer your other question. So, the maximum from these little Linksys boxes are 79 milliwatts, 19 dBm. Having said that, you may have to actually back it off. I mean, you don't have to, but you use enough adapters and crap to get between the box and the amplifier. You don't have to worry about knocking it down at all. That's number one. Number two, they make plenty of wireless bridges that actually, that essentially are Wi-Fi digipeters, and you're probably better off using that. They'll go on the same frequency as whatever channel you've set your home network on. Channels 1 through 6 are in the ham band. Channels 7 through 11 are not. So my suggestion is keep the family LAN in like on channel 9, 10, or 11, where 11 is probably very, very busy in your neighborhood. That's the other thing you can do. If you move everything down to channel 9, I mean, what I would do is I would use, you know, Wireshark, not Wireshark, I had a couple of different sniffer packages. I'm drawing a blank on all of them. But sniff your network from different parts of your house and your neighbor, sniff your neighborhood from different parts of your house to see what you're up against. And because it may not only be the devices, it may be the devices on the frequency they're on or channel they're on. And, oh, by the way, in the context of the neighbors, you know, Wi-Fi router getting in the way. And keep in mind, if you're running, you know, G-mode, you're really three channels wide. So if you're really on channel 9, You're on channel 8, 9, and 10.
Okay, yeah, that probably makes more sense because I just took it, you know, Verizon Fast, I just took it straight out of the box. I just played the more the network side, didn't actually think about the channel side. And I think a lot of people have that, those in the neighborhood. So, yeah, it could be channel saturation.
And so, you know, just sniff out what networks there are. And I cannot emphasize this enough. You need to sniff out what is hearable in different parts of the house at different times of the day. You know, if you've got the neighbor's kids doing their deal, I mean, I'm probably, based on what I see in my neighborhood, and I haven't used a spectrum analyzer yet, but it seems to me that I may be the only one who's throwing out RF without an SSID that's broadcast. And I say that because every household, I can identify on my block every household having a broadcast SSID except for my own. So my neighbors don't see my SSID. They suffer the indiscretions of the traffic, but they don't see the SSID when they do a scan. Because that's the way network security 101 is, if you don't want to know, if you want to keep, roving jackasses out of your place, the first way is to just not broadcast your SSID at all. Problem is, there are a lot of devices that need to see a broadcast SSID in order to even make a connection, but more modern devices are less encumbered.
Yeah, a lot of those ones have a little Sprint logo on the front of them.
I mean, they actually, unfortunately, a lot of devices, if they don't see a broadcast SSID, they don't know how to connect to it. There's no really nice configuration. It's prompted security and stuff like that, but it's got to see the SSID first. There's no way to embed a SSID into it dynamically, administratively. In my case, there is, and everything we have around here, everything works pretty well, so I can't complain. By and large, I think most of the family's happy, although I'm going to be moving some of the stuff around because I want to do another sweep. When I get the Wi-Fi stuff on the roof, I want to have the ability to sniff using a directional antenna, and I'm going to rotate one for a bit. In fact, if I get a not too intense a day, I may throw my Toughbook over my shoulder and along with the router and just do it by hand. Just sit on my roof one calm evening and just point at each house and scan each direction and see what I come up with house by house. It's just easier that way. Anyway, that's pretty much it. KCBAR.
82DDK.
Gary?
Oh, you're talking my subject. You're trying to think of Nets somewhere, I bet. Throw the copy of that on the laptop and walk around the house. NetStumbler. And also, for quick and easy, I've been playing with Android apps. Gordon, I think you've probably seen the one. I like Wi-Fi Analyzer. Yeah, take a nice little look at all the networks, Wi-Fi networks in the area, and give you a spectrum analyzer display of them right on your Android phone. That's my two cents, two comments.
A network analyzer, or Wi-Fi analyzer, I should say, I think has the other advantage of that if it doesn't get the SSID, it'll still note the envelope, yeah?
That's true, and you can display it any number of different ways. Is it time graph, strength over time, or your strict spectrum analyzer, or even a pie chart. You can, and it's very interesting because it'll show you the way it takes up three channels and where there's an available space to slip into.
Yeah, so your point is to is to search out what do you call it? Search out such things. Trying to. Oh, I see what happens here. It's Wi-Fi analyzer. I've been meaning to put that on my machine for a while. It's also something called Wi-Fi Hacker, which is very disturbing by the title.
W2PDQ.
W2PDQ. Go ahead, Rich.
There's also another thing called Wi-Fi Heat, which seems to work pretty good in determining where your envelope of your Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi Heat, you said?
Correct. Hilo Echo Alpha Tango.
Oh, look at that. Well, I've got a ridiculous envelope in my case. All the traffic in my house is on channel 6. It's kind of neat, or I say not all. There's a thing called HP setup that's coming out of one or more HP laptops around here. That's a little annoying, but I actually decided while we were talking, I loaded Wi-Fi analyzer and. It is quite clever.
I have tried a lot. I like that one the best, and I think it's the most accurate based on known network.
The network here called Sharon's network that it periodically gets really, really strong, which I think is interesting. I forget who Sharon is. I'll have to go back and look. But it's on channel 2. But basically, all the devices in my house, in my neighborhood, are on 1, 6, and 11, with one or two stations, one or two households on channel 2. I have signals here that are as strong as minus 20 and 30 dBm. That's amazing.
I hope that's in your shack next to you. It better not be a neighbor.
Is a neighbor. Another one there's a couple of them like that. They're amazingly strong.
They got the 5-watt amplifier.
Seems to me that you may be right.
Sounds like a new CB, W2JC.
Well, you know, with all due respect, I can end their need to, I can end their desire to be on a particular frequency relatively simply. I'm also running the time graph now. It's pretty intense. But, Paul, to your original question, you may find that in different parts of the house, you have different levels of interference to specific devices. So find out the ones that really annoy your wife or the ones your wife is advocating on behalf of, and go to those locations and take measurements there, okay?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Thanks. Back to that.
Yeah, I have a number of signals here that go northbound of minus 70 dBm from time to time. There's a red one, a purple one, blue. Let's see what the... All right, so the red one is EL. Okay, very good. I see how that works. They don't do it often, but boy, you can pretty much see how this is working, and it is messy to see what's going on in some cases. But, you know, What's interesting is I see two networks with the same SSID on different channels. Isn't that interesting?
Not really. A long time ago, I ran two separate channels because of the teenage daughter streaming music over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, whoever Sharon is, that's one I don't know. But I'll be looking for that at some point. Now, they're pretty much down in the noise most of the time. What I do like is that you can click on one of them and figure out where they are. Click on the thing at the top. It's not too bad. My one very next door neighbor is noticeably strong, but still only about 70 dBm. Nothing to get excited about. I mean, they're fine. I got this one. I think that's a 12. YX6, I think that nomenclature is used by Cablevision, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, I think you're talking BIOS. I'd have to picture it, but it sounds like BIOS to me.
All right, so who uses five-digit alphanumerics?
I think that's Verizon.
It is, okay. Well, I got one Verizon neighbor boy who's rocking and rolling here. Wow, somebody else just hit 70. Who's my yellow one here? That's interesting to look at. Anyway, I'll have to figure out the coding, for this. It's, very nice. Oh, okay. So a six-digit alphanumeric, I don't think that's Verizon, but every so often they get real strong too, northbound of 30 minus 30 dBm. It's pretty strong, pretty intense. Oh, it's interesting that I can actually program the 5 and the 2.4, so I can turn off the settings for 5 gig if I want. It's interesting to see who's operating illegally by seeing who's on channels 12, 13, or 14. We don't have those legally in the United States.
Oh, you're carried away. You may like to borrow some of my other toys the next time we hook up, like tomorrow night, and play with them for the weekend.
Well, I'll see, Gary. Who is the other station?
W2PDQ. Gordon, sounds like you need to build yourself a Faraday cage.
Well, I don't know about that, but okay. Let's see. I just changed the, this is interesting. Just make sure that I got this right. Wow. I didn't think we had access to 12, 13, and 14. I thought that wasn't legal in the United States, but maybe I'm wrong. I just put those those in play. I reset everything. Okay. I'm just scanning here, but their Wi-Fi networks on channels, assuming this selection filter works correctly, there are channel, I didn't think we had 12, 13, and 14 here in the United States. I thought that was verboten, but clearly somebody's there, a lot of somebody's.
I haven't seen a lot of that yet. You must have a real techie neighborhood.
No, there's nobody on there. The filters doesn't work. Because I just went to the graph you like to use, the one with the ovals, the magnitude ovals. And There's nobody up there. Absolutely nobody. So the filters don't work in the program. That's what I'm seeing.
Okay. All right. That's noted. Good note.
Yeah, it'll do the channel rating, but you know, but it won't filter them for other things. That's annoying. It really is. But what do you do? Ah, dear me. Anybody else have any thoughts? Alrighty. What was the other package that was mentioned?
Heat. Wi-Fi heat?
Wi-Fi heat. Okay. Let's try that. I'll go to the store and look up Wi-Fi heat. Anyway, I'm going to say 73, everybody. I think everybody's kind of fed up at this point. But thank you very much for your time and trouble here tonight. And this has been the Bergen Amateur Radio Association technical net. And there's, by the way, two apps. One is Wi-Fi Heat Map and Wi-Fi Heat. I'll do the map first. Anyway, thank everybody for their time and trouble, and glad to see that people were enjoying the net tonight. So this is W2TTT. God bless.
183 Gordon, K2EIR, closing station.
I do the same thing. I really need to go to bed. I'm really, really tired. Although, if you notice tonight, I did not yawn, but maybe once. So I guess that's a good start right there. So it's W2TTT, off and clear, 9090.
At the yawning, but you're no longer functioning very well mentally. I know exactly that feeling because I've seen it in myself. Get some sleep. 73, K2EIR.
73W2TTT.
WA2UMP, listening.
K-C-2-Z-M-A.
C2ZMA disconnected.
Good morning, Charlie. Back to work. KB2TIA.
Well, not really. I'm just going in to get my check, then turning around and going home.
Well, that stinks. Maybe you should look at the direct deposit.
Yeah, you know what? I had direct deposit, and we get paid on Thursdays. As soon as I went into direct deposit, it wasn't going into my account until Friday. So I felt like I was being penalized for using direct deposit. So I said the hell with it, so I gave it up and back to a paper check. I could probably get away without getting it today, but I'd like to get it. And I've got some leaves and trash to dump off. I've been busting my butt over here with the spring yard cleanup.
Oh, that stinks. But at least you put your time to good use, doing stuff around the house. And I don't have direct deposit either, but the guys at my job get their money the night before.
Well, you know what? That's how it was working for most people. And it even worked for me for like that for a while. But then the company changed banks. And something, I don't know if the bank that they go to is a little bit slower or what, but as soon as they change banks, my direct deposit was going in the day after everybody else. You all set for Saturday?
I believe so. I think I got everything I need to at least get it up. And I don't know still about mass that's going to reach the ground. I think this thing's going to be mounted on the side of the garage and that I plate or anything to balance it on top of some masting. So I don't know. But the only thing I don't have is the rope. I got the clamp, the guy wire clamp. I just don't have the rope. So I'm gonna probably head over to Lowe's and just buy some Dacron rope or something.
Alright, stand by. I'm in a bad spot. Give me a minute.
Good morning, guys. KB2TOR.
KB2TIA.
Good morning, guys. KB2BOR.
Good morning, Rocky. How are you?
Okay. No problem. I was here, but I was outside doing something. I didn't hear anybody on the radio, so I didn't bother throwing my call out.
I take a chance now and then. You never know who's listening. I expect Johnny's going to be out here too soon.
Yeah, I spoke to Johnny briefly from Debbie's house yesterday on my HT. Everything was going good with him.
Yeah, this afternoon he asked me to pass a message on to his friend. So I sent him a message, but he hasn't answered it, and I have no way to tell if he picked it up or anything, you know. So, in any case, he lost Tony's number, and I don't know if Charlie has it. And when he answered me, I busted out laughing. And then he started laughing.
Yeah, he actually changed it to that. I forgot what it was before that. I knew him when he had a different call sign, and then he changed it to SOB. That's a cool call sign.
I wouldn't want to be Alpha Sierra Sierra.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anybody out there like that.
You realize now, the next chance I get, I'm going to be looking up naughty call signs.
Yeah, there's K2ASS and N1ASS, KB1RFY. And Steve, you got my call sign wrong. It's a 1, not a 2 call.
Yeah, I got to get on there and fix that, because there's a lot of typos. I messed up Pete's name. I was doing that from my phone, and it just gets so complicated and so hard. Especially, I gotta switch screens to get the numbers and then go back to the text screen for the rest of the call signs, and I didn't think it would be so tough, and, as I was doing it, I was like, you know, I should have waited to do this. But, I'm gonna get on there, I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna, copy it and, repaste it, fix all the spelling errors and stuff. And delete the one that's up there.
All right, very good. I had it on. I was on the other repeater, and I just flipped over here real fast. I was getting ready to go to bed. I figured I'd see if you guys were here before I signed off and just passed that info around. All right, good morning to you, Rocky, Charlie, anybody else out there. I'll stay for one go around, and I gotta be in the work tomorrow, work 7 to 3, and then I gotta come home and I gotta go work the overnight shift, so 11 to 7. Then, of course, I gotta go on Saturday at 3, stay till 7 on Sunday morning, and then Sunday go in 3 to 11. Alright, KB1, IF1.
B3N1MUQ Mobile.
Well, it's good to hear you in there, Bill. nice little chat today. I wish you could made it, but I understand with the work situation. And next time, man, I'd like to have you guys over. It would be fun to get together again.
I'm trying to get off the crappy weekend. I'm doing two fill-ins this weekend. In fact, tomorrow morning, actually it's today in the morning, that's a fill-in also. All right.
I got the long weekend. I'm off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this week. So it's a rare occasion. It only happens like four times a year. So I'm a happy man this week. Over to you, John. Over to you, Rocky.
82 BOR. Hello, Bill. Have a good night's sleep, Bill. Over to you, Charlie. 82 BOR.
All right, very good. Good morning, Rocky, by the way, and 73 Bill. I thought you had a couple of sections of the Radio Shack mast. You don't have enough to go to the ground?
Oh, I absolutely do. I got a lot of Radio Shack mast in all different shape, but I have a lot of it, and I certainly do have enough to go to the ground. It's just a matter of that it doesn't link up to the mast that Joe has with the insulators on it.
Well, that's where I come in. I'm going to bring you something that hopefully will link them both up. In fact, I just realized I have a new bracket from an old diamond antenna, base antenna. And I think this might work out real well. One side will hook up to the inch-and-a-quarter Radio Shack mast, and the other side will take the mast that Joe gave you.
So it's like a coupler, like a built-in coupler.
Yeah, it's whatever comes with the diamond base antennas. I'll send you a picture of it after I get home. I forgot to take a picture last night, but I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. One side's got Yule bolts, the other side's got a bracket that holds a inch and a quarter mast. So we'll use that. Or I've got a flat plate, too. That's why I told you to get extra Yule bolts. We could always make them up that way. I'm going to bring a drill, and I'll bring a bunch of tools. But, yeah, we should be able to get you going all the way to the ground.
That would absolutely be ideal, and with the weight of the antenna and its size, it may even be really warranted, I would say. Not even, you know, it probably is needed. I'm a little bit worried because that thing is big, and I'm worried about wind load and stuff on that.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. How much rope do you need? I've got a little bit of rope, but I don't know how far you got to go.
I was trying to figure it out myself, because I'm not too sure where it's going to tie off to. Now, I think it's, I measured that side once for a piece of fence. I think it's 89 inches from the garage to the fence that's next to it. So, and the thing would be however many feet up, and it could probably be tied off to the fence, maybe one or two cords. And then I have a bunch of eye bolts of different sizes and different strength. I got hooks and stuff that I was thinking of putting in the other side of the garage and then tying it down to those.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you want to come off the antenna maybe, I don't know, a third or halfway up. Just to keep it from flopping around in the wind. But we'll take a look at it when we get there. You can find rope. I don't know how much I have, if that's going to be enough, but you can find like 100 feet of rope pretty cheap in a good hardware store. Just go to their rope section. Get something that's black or camouflage or green, something that won't be seen that easily. Don't get white.
You know what I actually have too? I actually have tied down you know, it's like the flat piece of metal, and it has four or five screw holes in it, and then it has the metal loop that you can tie stuff to. I bought a pack of that because I was building a project car for my son, and I was going to use that on the car, but those latches. So I have them also. So I have a lot of stuff like that, latches and eye hooks and things like that. So I think, you know, I could, you know, I don't mind making holes in the garage, so, but I don't want to tie it to the house. If I'm going to wreck anything, pull the siding off or something like that, it's going to be the garage. always hear that YLNet. I hear the Salvation Army one. There's a maritime one. It's all ships that check in. There's a couple, but it's always the sleepers, you know. So I like the 72 reg chip.
Rocky, you still there? I'm just about ready for coffee here. How'd you make out? Did you hear anything on your radio?
No, not yet, Charlie. He told me he had busy stuff to do with his wife Thursday and Friday. I guess he'll probably get to look at it over the week. I'm in no rush. I'm down on my antenna at home. I can't use it for anything. I was checking out last night using that Galaxy radio, and SWR is just, it's ridiculous. It's really getting, it's getting worse than it was. I had no problem about 2 months ago, but it's really getting bad.
Yeah, okay, yeah, best thing to do is swap it out, put it, put better coax on it. But we'll work on that next. Like you said, you're in no rush. You can only use the radio on 10 meters anyway, and you already have a radio for that. So get your upgrade, and we'll work on the antenna in the meantime. All right, give me a minute. I'm here at the mobile station. Let me grab some coffee. And when I mute you, I'll be back.
KD2BOR.
I'm a firm believer in the old school theory that the antenna is everything. Rather have a crappy radio and a good antenna than the other way around.
I'm hoping I don't have both after this guy checks it out.
Stay positive, Rock. Don't give in. I'm hoping that everything's okay for you.
Yeah, it's really got a knot in my stomach, you know. It wasn't going out and buying a, you know, a candy bar, if you know what I mean. Getting a lot of heat from the girlfriend, too. I mentioned to her to my antenna. May not be any good at home, and she just went off the wall on me yesterday about spending money.
Talking about the Antron?
Yeah. I mentioned to her I might have a bad antenna, and now I'm down, and she's being a real pighead about, she won't even let me put up a little J-pole in her house. You know, she said, good, I got into this hobby and everything. Now, you know, I'm just not, I tell you, I'm glad I got my little setup at the shop here, Steve. At least I could talk to you guys and everything.
Rocky, if your Antron turns out to be no good, I'll just give you mine. No problem. You could just take it. It's a little fuzzy, just like you said yours was, but it works fine. I've been using it, no problem. So it comes apart easy enough, I'll just give it to you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The first thing I'm going to do, I think I told you yesterday, or I told Charlie when I was talking to him in the morning. First thing I do is see if my landlord's got a ladder. If he don't, I got to get a ladder over to the house, and I can't even get to the corner of the garage where the antenna is because his wife's got so much stuff for her garden stacked in that corner. I got to wait till she cleans it out before I could even do anything.
Now, on your Antron, you have the ground plane kit?
Yes, I do. I had two of them with the ground plane kit. One got destroyed at the shop here. I only got remnants of it in the backyard. And my girlfriend's house, I don't have any ground radials on it. She didn't want it. I just did one at my house. I still have them, and it's still intact.
I think it really does help help it here, and the signal units are up with the radials on. You know, they could be longer. Those radials are kind of short, you know, for 10 meters. But, you know, maybe you can just, you can put it together between the two antennas, you know, that'd be good. And whatever parts you have left over, maybe you can ship them to Charlie, because I remember he expressed interest in it if I get rid of it. So he'll probably take the spare parts.
Very good. I appreciate that, Steve. Well, I called Charlie yesterday. I don't remember if I told you, but I'm going to go. I got to have to change the coax either way. It it's too old, so I guess that would be the first thing to do, because even if I put up another antenna, we're going to need good coax, wouldn't you think?
Well, I mean, you, if you have a really long run, it really plays a big part, you know, if you're using crappy coax. But, like, I have such short runs, I get away with the crappy coax. You know, I buy it in a Radio Shack and I just use it as is. You know, but I'm just going out a window of my house to the garage. You know, it's 3 feet away, and then the garage is 23 by 17. So I don't have very big runs, and, you know, I can get away with it. But if you have a really long run, then, you know, you really want good coax, and you want it shielded very well and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's my problem, that where the antenna is situated, I got to have a long run. But when I had the antenna up there new, I had no problem. And when the coax was new, of course. And even when I had my Starduster up there before the Antron, on the Starduster, I could go almost anywhere. You know, even just out of the 11-meter band and getting close to the 10-meter band, that antenna, I never had a SWR problem.
I'm not even using a very good tuner. I'm using a mobile tuner and with my Antron, and it's like completely flat on 10, you know. When I go to like 12, it's like goes up to about 1.2, and on some of the other bands it'll go as high as like 1.8, but it's within operating tolerances, and I can get up to 20 on it.
Making a lot of use out of that Antron, Steve. I got, you know, I don't know much about it, but it sounds like for what it is, you're getting a lot of use out of it with that tuner.
With the radios on, it would not tune 17. I don't know what it was. I tried everything possible. I could not get 17 meters. And once it fell down and I broke one of the radials, I took the rest off and I put it back up after the storm, Sandy, without the radios on. And the SWRs are fine. And then I can operate 17, you know, great. I'm into Europe whenever I want.
Fantastic. That's great. Out of an antenna like that, I forget what they went for, how much they cost, but you get a lot for your money there. Okay, let's see if Charlie's back. N1MUQ, KE2VOR.
Hey, I'm back. Just wanted to finish my snack. And N1MUQ Mobile. Yeah, that Antron 99 is a pretty good antenna. They got that IMAX out there. I think if I ever upgrade, that'll be the IMAX 2000 or something. That'll probably be the antenna that I go to for solely for 10 meters. But the Antron works fine. I'm short two radials now as well. My antenna blew over. It's very unstable. I think I have it up too high on that Parcon mount. I've got to fix it before we get another windstorm. It's very top heavy, so it blows over pretty easily. And it broke two of the radials. It snapped off the 3/8 inch stud, 3/8 by 24 stud. But I've got it up there now with just two radials on it, and it seems to work fine.
Charlie, I'm looking at a picture on eBay of that IMAX 2000. They're actually saying, I guess with tuning those rings, that antenna covers from 25.6 to 29.9.
Sorry about that, Rock. I had to pay attention to the traffic. I'm hoping there's not a problem at the bridge. I just missed it. They were talking about the bridge. But I don't know if there's a problem or not. I guess I'll find out.
I hope you don't have any problem just going in for your paycheck. That'd be a hassle.
Yeah, especially if I get all the way.